75 years ago on Thursday, men sacrificed their life for a cause greater than themselves, to keep us free, to keep the world free. Men of the United States of America sacrificed all to keep us free. They said that 90% of the first wave in Normandy did not make it. They said 80% of the second wave in Normandy did not make it. It wasn't until the fifth and sixth wave that they started to put the holes in the German army and in the defenses. And they kept coming and kept coming until freedom rang clear. So I want you to sing with my bride today, and I want you especially to listen to that second verse, because it talks about those who liberated us. So we can sing, put your hand in the hand anytime we want to.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains majesty, above the brooding plain. America, America, God shed his grace.
Thank you.
She about run out of piano. She got to the 87th key. Let's stand up and pray, and then we'll have Gene sing. Get everybody standing here. How's y'all doing? Everybody have a blessed week? Did God do wonderful things for you this week? Did God heal you? Did God bring you here? Did God get you through trials and tribulations? Did God keep you safe on the road? Did God give you something to eat this week and something to drink and laughter? Did you smile? Did you have wonderful thoughts? God bless you this week. Let's read together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when we talk about Zion, we're going to read the responsive reading of Zion. I just want you to understand, that's just the city of David. That's Jerusalem. That's the holy city where God, when he comes back, he's going to establish his kingdom in the holy city of Jerusalem. And that's the city, the Mount of Zion. That's what it means. It said, the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. We're getting there. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to those who know me. Behold, O Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia, this one was born there. The Lord will record when he registers the peoples. This one was born there. Still, my springs are in you. I don't know what still means. Look it up, Jim. Don't tell Marilyn. Praise God. Amen. I only read that first line before because I just wanted you to kind of get reading out loud with me, because I wanted you to be a part of the day. Amen. You're part of the church. You're everything. I can stand here and preach, but the church is empty. Nobody receives it. So I want you to receive it today. And I want you to be a participant. I want you to say those words when you say them and read them, because you're reading God's word. Whose word are you reading? There's no greater word that you can share. People talk about meditation. Anybody hear about meditation? I ask people all the time, what do you meditate on? Oh, this, and oh, I learned how to meditate. But the Bible says to meditate on the Word of God. So if I'm going to go off somewhere and by myself on a mountaintop and I'm going to meditate, I want to meditate on what God has said to me. Not what I'm thinking or not some other person. I want to know. So if you know the Word of God and you meditate on it, God is good all the time. There's nothing impossible with God. No battle against me. Nothing formed against me shall prosper. All those beautiful things that you can pray. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you start to meditate on that, when you end meditation, you feel what? Better. You feel what? Stronger. You see, that's what it talks about, meditating on the Word of God. And because the Word of God is good. Can I have an amen? So I would tell you this morning, let's just, first we'll pray. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to be reading from the book of John and the book of Luke, and I'll be reading with you. So, let's pray. How many times have we watched the same movie? I ask you now, and I see people smile. So I would say to you this morning, let your joy be full.
Let God touch you this morning, because we're going to talk and read something that you know, that you've heard before. So I pray that you come with me and come to this imagination. Let your mind go with God. Imagine God saying this. Imagine God doing what we're going to read. Let your mind get closer to God today. You've seen the movie before, so there should be no distraction. Don't be fooled that you think you know what it says. Just enjoy what it says, just like you enjoy that same movie for the 35th time, the favorite parts. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to find a way to unite, and I just, my heart is full, and my heart is sad at the same time, because as I was putting this sermon together, I had people in mind. Somebody told me last week, the nicest compliment. We get compliments all the time. Since I was 17, Greg will tell you, when you play music, you get a lot of compliments, and you have to just say thank you, thank you. But sometimes somebody says something to you that really touches you. Last week, somebody said to me, I get it. When you read the Word of God, Pastor, I get it. When you explain it, I get it. And I can't find a better compliment when somebody says, I get it, which means the Word is entering them. They may have heard it before and read it before, but today they say, I get it. So let's just pray together that you receive this today. And as we read it, you have the joy, Philip, and you understand in a different way, and you let your imagination just fill your heart and the visions of what God has done for us. And I pray that you see this and feel this and enjoy this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hear my prayer, Lord. And the church says, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Good morning, church. I get it. Unity. You know, there's families that are separated today because of God. Because they go to a certain denomination, they go to a certain church, and they separate from the rest of their family because the other part of the family goes to another church. Now, both churches are talking about Jesus. But one would say, somebody told me the other day, they saw somebody so happy. I said, are you born again? And she said, well, no, I'm a Methodist Christian. It shouldn't be that way. We should have people praying together. The family should be reading the Word together. And these religions should bring us all together because we're reading His Word. That's the most important part, Sergio. You should read His Word with friends and family and let them understand it so that they see that there's no division amongst Christians. We love Jesus. We love God. Let that be. Let your imagination soar with me today. Could you do that with me? Even though you've seen this movie before, maybe you're going to see something in this movie you hadn't seen before. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
In the beginning, in the when?
Yeah.
Was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is in capital letters. You know what the Word is? Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. Now, if I read that again with Jesus, here's what it says. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Imagine in the beginning. Look around at everything you see. Don't look at the mess. Don't look at the everything. But look around at everything you see. Think of the mountains, the oceans, the rivers. Think of everything. George, like you were talking about, the ocean 40 miles off the coast of New London. Think of that. In the beginning. He started all this in the beginning. Jesus was right there with His Father. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. That's so simple, so pure. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Hallelujah. The word darkness The Greek word for darkness is skotia. Say that with me. Skotia. S-C-O-T-I-A. And the Greek form skotia, this is what it means. Gloom, evil, sin, obscurity, night, ignorance, and moral depravity. That's darkness. That's what the word means in Greek. It means gloom, evil, sin, obscurity, night, ignorance, and moral depravity. Darkness represents unhappiness. The light represents life. Whose life? Our life. God shining a light through you. There is life in the light. Say that with me. There is life in the light. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So let me say that again. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. What did God talk about the light? What did he talk about? That your joy may be what? Full. And you have to be in the light in order for your joy to be full. And it said that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The light shined on evil, and it didn't comprehend it. The light shined on sin, it didn't comprehend it. On moral depravity, and it didn't understand it. Because we live in the light, and the darkness cannot understand it. Hello. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Not that John. We love that John, but it wasn't that John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Through the what? He was a witness to life. Say that with me. He was a witness to life. It says light, but what is light? Life. Happiness. Happiness. He was a witness to happiness, that our joy may be full. John became a witness. The man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. How many? All of us might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Again, it would say, that was the true light, which gives life to every man coming in the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I tell you this morning that if people just sat down at their table and just put away their religions and put away their denominations and put away their disbelief, and they just read that together, the two husband and wife and children sitting together, and you understand, as many as receive him, then they have the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. I could see families holding hands now, looking at each other with love, saying, we are children. We have that right because we believe his name. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Isn't that an interesting word, we? John is telling us that they beheld his glory. What does that mean? They saw Jesus in the flesh. They walked with him. They talked with him. They listened to him. They heard his voice. They were eyewitnesses. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this is he whom I have said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. How could John know that? We're going to get to that. John the Baptist said that. Let me repeat that again. This is John the Baptist saying now, John was who was born witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. How would he know that? And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace, which means grace for grace for grace. Unmerited favor for all things that we go through. Whatever you're going through, we have added grace. Whatever your need is, God gives you that grace, that special feeling, that special love. Hallelujah. And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. Now it says here in 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now what was the law? The Ten Commandments. That was given through who? Moses. But God came, because of Jesus we have grace and truth. Now it says this in 18, no one has seen God in any time. How many have seen him? The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. No one has seen God. That makes perfect sense if you start to use your imagination. We're talking about God who created. Anybody know that you can't look at the sun? You can't look at the sun with your eyes for more than 2 or 3 seconds or you're going to hurt your eyes. Your body is physically going to hurt. God is greater than the sun, the Father. If the Father was here, we could not stand in his glory because it would be too much for our flesh to bear. It would be too amazing. It would be too powerful. It would be too everything that we could not bear to be next to God the Father. And it said no one has seen him except who? Jesus. Because Jesus was with the Father when? In the beginning. You think about that. Let your imagination, that same movie, but now see it in a different way. Nobody can see the Father. No one has seen him because we couldn't stand in that glory. We couldn't be near him for we would perish in that kind of light, that kind of power, that kind of everything. Everything from God. All that force coming from God. We couldn't bear it at this time with our fleshly bodies. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him, telling us that Jesus has told us about his Father. Now let's go back and talk about John. Can we talk about John for a minute? John the who? John the Baptist. Now Elizabeth and Zechariah, they didn't have any children. You see, the story is, and this story is in Luke. If you go to the book of Luke, right from the beginning, you're going to read about Zacharias and Elizabeth, see? And they had no children. And Elizabeth was getting older. That sound familiar? Amen? And Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, who is the messenger, Gabriel always brings the messages. Michael fights the wars for us, fights our battles. So Gabriel came to Zacharias and said, you're going to have a child. Guess what? You're going to have a child. I'll read it, what it says here. Hallelujah. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah standing at the right hand of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell down on him. He fell down because he saw the angel. Imagine if he saw God. But the angel said, I love this. But the angel says to everybody, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And we should be rejoicing in that. Understand how many people have ever had one prayer answered. Come on, one prayer. If you've had one prayer answered, then you've had two and three and four and five. You should be rejoicing. And the angel said, do not be afraid, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice in his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be, are you ready for this? I'm telling you what, the more you read, the more you see something you didn't know you're going to see. For he will also be ready, filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. When John the Baptist is inside of Elizabeth, he's going to be filled with what? The Holy Spirit. And you wonder when you go back and read, we're going to read from John again, how John the Baptist knew it was Jesus. How did he know? Because he was filled with what? The Holy Spirit. And he had that power to go out and prophesy and to go out and baptize. And he wasn't afraid. And he was bold because he was filled with the what? From his mother's womb. The baby wasn't even born yet. And the angel Gabriel is saying, he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit in from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers for the children and the disobedient to the wisdom and just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am old man and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring to you these glad tidings. Hallelujah. That is so exciting. Gabriel stands where? Next to God. This Gabriel, this angel, is right there waiting for God to say, Gabriel, go and tell. Go and spread my word. And Gabriel does it. Amen. And when the angel sees, don't be afraid. What did he tell somebody else? He was there. He said, he told, don't be afraid. Worship God. Do not worship me. Simply worship God. This should bring also all of us together. Oh, I pray and wish that some people were here today. I do. Because I want their house healed. I want them to look at their wife and the wife look at their husband and said, we are one. We are one. We don't need anybody else to pull us apart. We don't need any other books. We don't need any other teaching. This teaching is pure. This teaching is simplicity. That is God. We are one. We are one body because of Jesus. Amen? That power and that beautiful love from God. Thank you. And how many know the story? So Zacharias didn't believe the angel, and so Gabriel said, well, from this time I'm done talking to you until your child is born, you're not going to be able to say a word. You're going to be mute. And Zacharias was back there praying for people. He had to go out and meet all his friends, all the other priests, and he had to go out there and he couldn't say a word. They thought something really bad happened to him. Imagine that if you went outside and all of a sudden you couldn't speak until something, I mean, you know, he said, because you didn't believe me, let me do this for you. Thank God it all passes. Hallelujah. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Just saying that back in the day, they felt like if a woman didn't have a child, she wasn't worthy. There was sin in her life. There was something in her life. That's how people think. That's the sadness of people thinking on their own without God. There was nothing wrong with Elizabeth. She was obedient to God, obviously, because she bore John the Baptist. She was blessed with that. Now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And you know the story. Who's going to conceive now? Mary. Hallelujah, Mary. And he tells her the same thing about you. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, Mary. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? Does she deny him? No, she's asking Gabriel. She said, well, how can this be? All these things you say, for I don't know a man. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. For 3 weeks we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We had a Bible study talking about the Holy Spirit. Understand the power. The Holy Spirit is all powerful. The Holy Spirit is so powerful. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. It's the Spirit that does all these powerful things. And he's saying the Holy Spirit's going to come over you and you're going to conceive and it's going to be the Son of God. And he's telling her that and she rejoices with that. Hallelujah. Now indeed, he's saying, Elizabeth, are you ready for this? Your relative has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the 6th month of her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. How many know that Mary and Elizabeth were related? You all knew that, right? So that necessarily, then that means that John the Baptist, and who was related? Jesus. When you read and start to understand how God works, God the Father works, but the Holy Spirit, you understand this is pretty cool. John the Baptist, who you're going to read, and I'm going to read in a minute, realized he never met Jesus. He never saw him before. Never saw him, but his first time that he sees him, he knows who he is. How can that be? How can you know who somebody is unless the Holy Spirit is inside? He knew right away. He knew right away who he was. And that's because the Spirit was inside John. And when you see Jesus, he knows that John is a relative. I think that's amazing. I think that's part of a movie sometimes people don't see, that John the Baptist and Jesus were actually cousins. They were related. I find that. I don't know about you, but I found it to be hallelujah, wonderful. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. I love this. And it happened, you let your imagination, it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leapt in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Who was filled? Elizabeth's filled with. Now the baby was filled with the Holy Spirit. Was Elizabeth? No. Until when? Until Mary got there. It said the baby leapt in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now here's something you might have missed in the movie. Then she spoke out with a loud voice. With what?
With what? A loud voice. She was bold. She had power. She had confidence. She wasn't whispering. She was speaking with what? A loud voice. That's, and I said, oh, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? How would she know that? Unless the Holy Spirit told her. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told from her, from the Lord. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to go back to John. I'm going to go back to John 1:29. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, 1:19. Listen with me. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." And they said, "John, are you the prophet?" And he said, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" Who sent them? The Pharisees and the priests. He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" As the prophet Isaiah had said, he went to the Old Testament. Now those who were sent were from Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you're not Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. He is the one coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is a beautiful part right here. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Listen to what he says. He never even met him before, but he said, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I have said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water." And John bore witness, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God.'" Has anybody seen that movie before? It's a beautiful movie. If you just read what we read, it would unite families. There would be no more division. It wouldn't matter if you were Methodist, Congregationalist. It wouldn't matter if you were Catholic. It wouldn't matter if you were Irish, Italian. It wouldn't matter. Anything would. If you love God and you're searching for God, this movie would unite the families. I could see husbands and wives taking their hands and holding them together, saying, "I'm so sorry that we fought about things that we shouldn't have fought about with God and about the Bible, because this is all I need to know. This is the food that I need to live with. These words are true. And God loves me, and I believe Jesus." Hallelujah. Now if you go to John 3:36, I want to read this to you. Anybody with any doubt. 3:35 said, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand." Are you ready? "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him." Let me read that again. Let me unite families. Let me just give you something so simple, so pure, that you can take with you today. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to him, Jesus said, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Global evangelism. Who's called to do that? We are. When you're filled with the Spirit, hallelujah, it says that he gave them power to forgive sin. Thank you, Lord. Let me find that, because I want to read that too.
I'm going to go back and just read that again. Jesus said to them, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And he says this, listen, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now you would say, who forgives? God, right? Now you say, how can man forgive sins of any? How can man retain any? Well, it's very simple. Here's what it means. Jesus is saying to them, you go and tell them about me. You go, Joe, and you tell them about me. If they believe it, their sins are forgiven. You can, if they believe me because of all your words, you've forgiven their sins. If they choose not to believe, Sergio, that means their sins are retained. If they don't believe, then you just walk away because their sins are retained. It doesn't mean that they had the power to give and remove sin. It just means they had the power to lead them to forgiveness, just like we have. Just like we have today. Who has it? We have it. You have the power to heal people. You have the power to find forgiveness in people. And how do you do that? With one name. Teaching them one thing. Who is the name? Jesus. What is it? That he loves us. What else? That he forgives our sins. That's the power you have. That's why it says, and I read it again in the book of Acts, because this is the last thing that Jesus says before he leaves. He said to them, "It's not for you to know the time or season when my Father's going to come back, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." When the what? That's right. "And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem," which means in Derby, "and in all of Judea," which means Connecticut, "and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth," which means where? Everywhere. That we are witnesses to who? Jesus. And I love this. "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Can you see that at the end of the movie? See this, the end of the movie. There's Jesus. "And they're watching. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heavens? That same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Go and do your work.'" I will tell you today, I pray that families be healed. I pray that we can bring people together. I pray that seeing this movie over one more time gave you more strength, gave you more hope, gave you something you didn't have before, because you have the power to heal. You have the power to lead people to Jesus. You have the power to save their life for salvation, for all the things in life that they're looking for. You have it. You have the gift, and the gift is Jesus. Go and preach it to the world. That's what God said. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Filled with the Holy Spirit, bold, she said loudly,
"There's a garden where Jesus is waiting. There's a place that is wondrously fair. For it glows with the light of his presence. 'Tis the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. There my Savior awaits, and he opens the gates to the beautiful garden of prayer. There's a garden where Jesus is waiting, and he bids you to come meet him there. Just to bow and receive a new blessing in the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. There my Savior awaits, and he opens the garden of
I get it, she said to me last week. And I was so touched. I want you to get it. I mean, I really want you to get it, to understand this God. In the beginning, there was nothing. He created all this. And His Son was standing right there. And His Son loves us so that we could be in that paradise someday. Everlasting life in the most beautiful place. And all we have to do is believe in His name. And if you believe in His name, you have power. And that power is to change other people's lives, to lead them to Jesus and change their life. What a beautiful gift He has given to us. And He simply asks us to tell others about Him. Give Him praise, church. Certain parts of that movie I hope you love more than others, but just to find out that John and Jesus were related, oh, I already knew that, but just to understand it again, to see it again, and just to see John calling out, there he is, how did he know? Because the Spirit of God was inside of them. We have so much to be thankful for this morning. And Jesus said to do this Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. We made that name up. It was just a dinner that they had. You can do this anytime in your house for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. He just wants us to do this in remembrance of Him until He does come back. In Jesus' name. Thank you, deacons. Thank you, Lord. Saw Him being carried up in a cloud. And the angel said, what are you looking at? Why are you looking up there? He's coming back. Now go and do the work He told you to do. Stop worrying about when He's coming back, because that can be a distraction. That can make people forget they have work to do. Stop preaching about things that haven't happened yet, because God said you have so much to do. Don't add confusion to the Word of God. Just preach the Word. Enjoy. Let your joy be full. As you read it together with your family, let your joy be full. As you seek for more wisdom and understanding, let your joy be full. Live in the light. We're not in the darkness. We're not in the darkness. Live in the light. The light is the life. Hallelujah. Glory of God. Let it shine in this house today on every one of us, Lord. Though we've seen this movie over and over again, Lord, let new things enter our spirit. Let us learn, if nothing else, to be bold, like Elizabeth was when she saw this, when she saw Mary come in. She became bold and said with a loud voice. She wasn't afraid anymore. She wasn't timid anymore. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Deacon. We do this as Jesus asked us to do this, in remembrance of Him, what He did on that cross for all of us, in Jesus' name. Fall short daily. So all of us together as a body ask God to forgive us for our iniquities, for our sins, large and small. For God doesn't have a rating system for falling short. He doesn't have a rating system for sinning. He just says, I will forgive you. Repent and be forgiven. So Lord, forgive us and cleanse us this morning, Lord. Let us be in the right place to receive the blood of Christ that covers us and that keeps us safe. In Jesus' name, forgive us, Lord.